Everybody say,
my day,
he's mighty,
he's mighty.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, we are exalting Jesus here on the Now Network for our opening prayer. Minister Larigas.
Praise Jesus. Yes, Father God, you are mighty. Lord God, you are mighty in every way, Lord God. You are worthy, Lord God. You are awesome. You are just. You are righteous. You are holy. You are God. Oh. Hallelujah, God. God, we pray for the listeners on the airwaves this day, Lord God, that you deal with each and every one of our hearts accordingly, Lord God. Hallelujah, God. God, that you will get our minds and our spirits in focus, Lord God, to receive what you have in store for each of us this day, Lord God. God, you said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few, Lord God. So even now, Lord God, that we ask that you deal with our own hearts, the ground of our own hearts, Lord God. God, that you toil up those things, Lord God, that have come to cause any type of distraction. Lord God, any way, Lord God, that it would kill, steal, or destroy what you have planned for each of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. God, I plead the blood of Jesus, not only over the listeners, Lord God, but as well as the speaker, Lord God. God, that your word will go forth, Lord God, and it will do what it has set out to do, and let it be accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Yes, and let this and all things be done for one reason and one reason alone, that all may glorify you and praise you and know that you are mighty. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Mighty in word, mighty in battle, mighty indeed, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we claim it by faith in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Yes, God. Thank you. Thank you for that prayer, man of God. And it will be done. To God be the praise. Thank you all for calling in once again. And thank you for your support. Hallelujah. Each one that is a partner with this network, each one that is a faithful listener, those that share these broadcasts, those that labor in bringing forth the word of God, and not only over the airwaves, but we're going out in the highways and byways. Thank God for your service, and I just honor the people of God today. We all, as one, we are to be honored to one another. So God bless you. God bless the mighty man of God who has founded this network, Pastor Edward Hamilton. God bless you for this and extending the platform that we can reach out and put the gospel out there in unconventional ways. Thank God for the vision he's put in you, and may he cause that vision to flourish, hallelujah, and cause it to grow as he sees fit, and then he will connect the new connections. I decree new connections in this season right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray not only new connections for the man of God, but everybody on the line listening, there's some people that God needs to connect you with for the next place in your life, for the next place on your journey. Hallelujah. I'm not going to prophesy, but I'm just going to teach on today, but I had to get that out. It just sprung up on me. So to God be the praise. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for that mighty prayer, man of God, and for all your continued support, all the love you sow to me and to my family. I thank God for you, and for those who maybe I don't see you or know you personally, but you pray for us as we're delivering the word. You glean from us as God speaks through us to you. Thank you for just being you. May God honor all that you do with a sincere heart. Whatever we do with a sincere heart, God will honor it, because he's looking at the heart, and he has some great things in store for each and every one of us. It's an amazing time to be alive. This is a great time to be alive. I got excited last night. It was about 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm up, and I'm praising God, just dancing in the middle of the night, because I'm thanking God to be alive at such a time as this, because we're in a time where Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. And sometimes people will bring that to you as if it's all bad, because we know the end times, there's some bad things that's got to take place, but it doesn't have to overtake or affect the people of God in a negative way, because we understand who we are, whose we are, and what God wants us to be doing. He said we should not be fools, but be wise, knowing what is the will of God. So the will of God is one, as my brother prayed, the Holy Spirit was in that prayer. He said that God told us that he would raise up laborers, and he's praying for laborers. Do you not know the body of Christ in the world at large doesn't need more apostles? They don't need more prophets. They don't need more pastors, teachers, evangelists, and all those titles and fancy schmancy things we want to be because we think it makes us one up on the next. No, no, no. What is needed is laborers. He said the only thing he said is few is laborers. You can have all the titles, all the accolades, all the stuff, but you're not a laborer. And God says you're not getting anything done. We got to get to a point where we now are fruitful. This is why in the body, yes, we need the fivefold. I'm not saying we don't need the fivefold, but what I'm saying is we don't need to go after, oh, I'm an apostle. Oh, I'm a this, whatever title you want to slap there. We don't need to run after those things is what I'm saying. Yes, we need to be taught. We need to be equipped. We need to be made ready so that we can do the work. We need to understand what the work really is all about. Hallelujah. Because there are souls. There are souls. And we're in a time now where the souls are starting to draw near. And we got to be, the Bible says, always be ready to give an answer to any man that asks you according to the hope. Now, he didn't say you got to answer every question they ask you. They ain't asking about the hope that you have in Jesus. Then why are we spending a lot of time talking to them? You know, the Jehovah's Witness want to tell you about why their theology is right and why yours is wrong. You ain't got to open up to that. The Bible says not to. It says if they come preaching another gospel, don't even let them in your house. Consider them accursed, okay? But if they want to know the hope because they've now looked at your life and see something different about you, you going through, but yet you keep a smile on your face. They just cussed you out and you didn't hit them in the mouth. You prayed for them and gave them a hug. What's different about you? Can I know why you're different? It irritates me because you're different, but there's something about you in your life that says you're different. That's when you can open up and say, baby, I have a relationship with a man named Jesus. I know who raised me. I know who saved me. His name is Jesus. We got to magnify the name. We got to put the name out there because it's not by our testimony of us. Well, I used to do this. I used to do that. And now I'm different. No, that's not going to get somebody saved. But the testimony is in Jesus. What did Jesus do for them? Because they ain't saved yet. So you got to bring it to that level. Look, he died for you. We got to keep preaching that bloodstained cross. Hallelujah. For the unbeliever, for the believer, we grow, and now we know that God wants us to learn his ways. Hallelujah. God wants us to know his ways. So anyways, let me slow down and just get in this. So last week, the Lord laid it on my heart, and I prayed about it because I didn't want to do it. I'm like, well, maybe I don't need to talk about this, you know. But there's certain subjects that we get uncomfortable with. Preachers get uncomfortable with some subjects. We'll be honest. I get uncomfortable with certain subjects, sex and money. Most people don't want to deal with that, but I'm a firm believer in this. Just like in my own household, I had to talk with my kids. I didn't wait too late because I understand they're going to be having that talk with somebody else if I don't talk to them. Y'all get what I'm saying? So there's certain things we have to address in the body of Christ. We have to address it with maturity, and we have to teach concerning these things that we're not ignorant to Satan's devices. So on last week, we dealt with the subject of money. And I talked about you can't serve God and money. We're going to pick that up today. We'll pick that up a little bit more on today and deal with that and do a teaching because there's something that the Lord had revealed to me on last night and how he gave me a greater understanding of some things on last night. Okay, one of the biggest hindrances to progress, I need you to put away your distractions and listen. I need you to hear this. One of the biggest barriers to the progress of the body of Christ is our relationship with money. Money is not, having money is not a problem. Having money and using money is never a problem. We don't have to be broke to serve God. That's never going to be something you'll hear me preaching. You don't have to be broke, but you do need to understand what money is. Money is an earthly thing. It's earthly. It's not of the kingdom of God, but God will utilize money or use money to try the hearts of men. Somebody say, prove it. I'm going to prove it all throughout the Bible. God took Israel into the wilderness to try their hearts, right? But then he took them into the promised land, and he told them some things about their promised land. He told them what to beware of. He told them what to beware of. When God blessed them, they went out of Egypt. They went out of Egypt with lots of gold, riches. What was the first thing the people did with the gold that they got from God? God gave it to them. the prosperity that God gave them, what was the first thing they made out of it? An idol. And God used Moses to rebuke the people. And Moses crushed the idol to powder and ground the powder up and put it in the waters and made the people drink the bitter water. It means God will make you taste the bitterness of your idolatry. That's why some things will go awry when you place all your bet on the stuff of this world. But when you place everything you have into the kingdom of God, and he says, now you got an unlimited supply. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do now is walk in it and watch me supply. That's what we want to get to. That's the real prosperity of God. It's not about things. Prosperity is walking in. It's already done. I want you to write that down. How can I say that? Prosperity is walking in. It's already done. How can I say that? Jesus walked in. It's already done. He didn't spend all his time chasing after the status of this world. Now, Jesus was not, as some people suppose, homeless and broke. He was not homeless. I know he told one person that said, I'll follow you. He says, he tells him, the birds have nests and rabbits have holes, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. He was talking about at that time. That time he was walking from place to place, from coast to coast. He was on foot evangelizing, going from city to city, preaching the gospel. And he told the disciples to do the same thing he was doing. Wherever they open the door for you to lay your head in their house, you go there and you eat whatever they put before you. That was at that time. But Jesus is a carpenter. He wasn't homeless. Okay. I'm gonna find this scripture real quick. Hold on one moment here. Jesus was not homeless. He wasn't poor. He wasn't poor like a beggar and some beggarly person that people try to make him be. I believe it's Mark chapter 2. I believe it's Mark chapter 2 that pretty much speaks of Jesus' house. It says he has a house. So he wasn't homeless. So he wasn't no poverty-stricken person, but he wasn't after the status of this world either. He was kingdom-focused. His only focus was the kingdom of God that he was carrying inside of him coming to this planet. And he had to stay line upon line. Everything Jesus did was so appointed by the Father that everything he did was in the appointed times of God. He says, I don't do nothing that I did not see my Father do. Okay? Everything he did was in the appointed times of God. Even the fact that he was laying in the grave on the Sabbath day. Resurrected on the first day. He's the first fruit of them resurrected from the dead. He was crucified during Passover. He's the Passover lamb. That's how perfect and intricate and detailed our God is. That's how perfect Jesus' obedience is. We won't look at all obedience, but sometimes you got to take your eyes off your obedience and get into God, because then you'll see the template, and then you get caught up and wrapped up in it, and he'll bring you into the oneness of doing his will. My God today, watch this. Watch this. So Jesus didn't have the type of relationship with money that a lot of people have nowadays. And there's a reason for that. But he was kingdom focused. Jesus worked 30 years he walked the earth for 30 years. From about the age probably of 12 to 30, he worked, a conventional job. He was a carpenter by trade. An apprentice of a carpenter, if you want to be more specific. His stepfather was a carpenter. Okay, some suggest that he made furniture and different fixings for, the decor of your home. He built things like furniture and all that. He's a master builder. I personally believe he built homes. Now, some say that when they study that, they find that he did not build homes, but he built furniture. But I find it strange that Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. A magnificent place. He tells us this place is so great. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. So he's going to build mansions. You're telling me the carpenter is only building couches and end tables? I personally believe that he had the ability in the mind to do greater things. Nevertheless, that's not really a subject for debate. The point I'm making is this. Jesus is able. He worked a job for many years like a regular man, and he did that more than he did ministry. 3 years of his life, and dedicated that to ministry. And we know he died at a very young age, or departed at a very young age, because he didn't stay dead. He resurrected with all power, but that cut short his earthly ministry in that body. But then he gives the work to his church. That's why he's talking to us about laborers, because you got a job to do, and you can't get distracted by the status of this world. You got to focus on what he's calling for. This is for me too. I'm first partaker. Believe me, God has been dealing with me about it. Believe me. He's been showing me seek first the kingdom for a while. So I'm qualified to share this with you. Now, Jesus works. He works a job. He has money. He's not broke. The Bible says that he hired Judas, and Judas was the treasurer. And the Bible says that Judas carried the money bag. You telling me Jesus had a money bag, but he was homeless and broke? No, he couldn't have been both. So somebody's theology is wrong, because they want to make Jesus like they are. You know, if you think you got to be honcho and prosperity like the world and the church falsely calls prosperity, then you're going to paint this picture of Jesus as some rich mogul on earth and not the king of heaven coming as a humble servant. If you think Jesus was poor because you poor, broke down, busted, and disgusted, then you're going to preach him like he's that. But the Bible tells you who he is, and the Holy Spirit reveals the Bible. He wasn't here focused on the things of this world, okay? He also wasn't some broke beggar. Now, can you be that and still be saved? You absolutely can. Jesus tells a parable in Luke, the 16th chapter. He says, you know, there was a rich man and a beggar. He gives the beggar's name. We don't even know that rich man. So beware, ye rich people. He gives a parable of a rich man whose name is not known. That could be you. Okay? Now, but we know the beggar's name is Lazarus, and he begs, and he dies, and he goes to heaven, and he's in Abraham's bosom, and he's comforted. And the rich man dies and goes to hell, which is a whole nother story. You can sit comfortably in the judgment of God and not know it, because you got all the earth goods, but you ain't got no good in your spirit. And you dying, and lift your eyes in hell. The Bible says he lift his eyes in hell. In other words, he didn't even know the judgment of God was upon him till he lift his eyes in a new place. But before that, he had everything of this world. While one was suffering, begging, struggling, here he is, saved. So it's possible to be poor, busted, and disgusted, and saved. But beloved, God is a God that takes good care of his children. He's a father, and we got to know him in his fatherly sense, that when we ask, he's not going to deny us. He's not going to give us the wrong thing. You ask for a bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Hallelujah. Watch this. Nevertheless, Jesus wasn't some beggar. He wasn't some rich guru or some person walking around living like a king. He even says, you know, what did you go out to see? He talks about it. He says, you know, you went out in the wilderness. What did you go to see? He says, a prophet? He says, yea, that and more. In other words, they went looking for the Christ. All men mused in their hearts of John whether or not he was the Christ. And when John the Baptist came, he looked poor. He was eating locusts and wild honey in the wilderness, but he was anointed of God. So be careful who you put your mouth on, because it ain't always in the status of the world. So John's in the wilderness, but the people go out there looking for Christ. And John has to tell them, I'm not the light. There's one that comes greater than me. But yet Jesus says, what did you look for one wearing king's raiment? That means the garments of a king. He asked the people of Israel. He said, did you look for somebody that looks like a king? He says, he that wears soft clothing lives in king's houses. In other words, the move of God is not always going to happen the way we think. It ain't going to look like what we think, but it's a move of God. Watch this. You got to discern the spirit now. So here's Jesus telling the people. He tells the people about the difference between who's anointed and who's carrying the kingdom in the appearance of greatness. He even, you know, tells them about Solomon. And he says, one greater than Solomon stands here. Now, do you understand? Jesus wasn't living in a castle or a palace. He wasn't living, but he had a house. So sometimes God just wants us to live modestly. It doesn't mean he wants you begging and crumb snatching and at the very bottom, the bottom feeder. No, that's not the life God planned for his children. But sometimes the devil will have you thinking you got to be the most opulent life, you know, especially with these big name, you know, people on TV, these preachers living it up, and some of them are, you know, business minded and they're blessed because of it. But then some of them are fleecing the sheep. So they all got the same counsel according to money. So when you hear it, you begin to assume this is the way it's supposed to be, but God's going to speak to you if you listen to that. Now, God wants us to have the right relationship with money. Somebody might have listened last week, might have got offended. We played that old song from the OJs, Money, Money, Money. They might have got offended. Well, that ain't no Christian song. It's supposed to be a gospel network. Well, did you listen to the message in the song? The principle in that song is don't let money change you. Now, this is the world telling you this. There were no gospel group. So you know that if they get it, we definitely got to get it. Now, money. God will prepare us because there's a wealth transfer that I believe that we're in line for, and there's a purpose for it. There's a changing of the guard, but there's a purpose for it. It's not for us to live it up like we are all of that, living like rock stars and all that. No. See, Nehemiah was a man of God. Nehemiah was not liked by the status quo. He was not liked by the people in Israel. God said in one scripture, he said that the prophets and the priests, he called them dogs. He said they are like greedy dogs. He said the prophet prophesies for a wage, and the priest, he works for a hire. So they had all become all about money. Now, is it wrong for the preacher to get money? Definitely not. And if you got a problem with sowing and giving and tithing and those things, you got to check your spirit. If you got a problem with providing for the work of God, then something must be wrong with you. Watch this. Judas was the one of the disciples. Taking a turn now. Judas was the one of the disciples that had the most to say about somebody using something expensive. The woman poured the expensive oil on Jesus, and Judas said that could have been used and sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. And then the Bible says, but he did not care for the poor. But he said these things because he was a thief. He was a thief. He was stealing out of the money bag. You walking with Jesus, counting Jesus' money, and you stealing Jesus' money. That's what Judas did. Now, and this is why he was perfect candidate for the one that would turn him over to his enemies for money. Isn't it amazing that the reason he sold Jesus out was for money? Now, you got to understand something. The mindset and spirit of Judas is still on earth today in a lot of people. Watch this. So this is why God wants to deal with us about our relationship with money. Let me read this scripture. I got to get it out. I got to get it. Hallelujah. If somebody help me find this, then I'm going to go into the meat of this and be done. But in Ecclesiastes, because we always use this, and I've heard it numerous times, okay? It's somewhere in Ecclesiastes, he says, money answers all things. But this is the one I really want to use. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 12 says this, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. So some things money can defend you from. Oh, I know, because I've been in situations where I didn't have the money and fell into some bad situations because of it. So money is not bad to have. If you ever had a nice amount of money and didn't have certain problems in your life because you had money, then you know this. Money's not bad to have at all. Okay, he says money is a defense, but there's always a but. You got to keep reading. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So this excels the knowledge that Solomon had. He says wisdom goes beyond. Wisdom will give you life if you have it. Do you have wisdom? Do you really have wisdom? Just ponder that. Ponder that. It goes beyond knowledge, goes beyond quoting scriptures, but it goes into a spirit that God will give you called the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Watch this. And you got to possess it. Watch this. So what God wants to do is give us insight and wisdom concerning money. He wants to give us wisdom and insight concerning money. God's principle is this. If you be faithful over what? A little. So you might have a little money right now. You ain't got to be rich for this message to apply to you. This is not one of them prosperity conferences where everybody's telling you, you give $1,000 and God's going to give you $100,000. There's so much to be said about that. Now, there are times where God will tell a prophet to ask for money. There are times, it's biblical. But just because it's biblical don't mean that people not misusing it. Understand what I'm saying. People will misuse the biblical principles to line their pockets. And there's a day that we got to answer to God in judgment for that. Sometimes people are going to look like they're getting away with these things, but there's a day that we got to stand before Almighty God. And he's going to ask you why you did what you did. So if you're laboring, watch this, we should be laboring for that which does not perish. That which does not perish. Now, he already said the laborers are few. Why would you suppose that is? One, the work is strenuous. Two, the pay isn't what everybody really thinks. So this is why a lot of folk got itching ears, and you got preachers with tongues that's going to soothe them itching ears because of money. Watch this. But you want truth, then you're going to plug in where the truth is flowing, and you're going to say yes and amen or say out something. Watch this. God wants to give us wisdom concerning money because we are a very vital generation. If we don't understand the times, we'll miss what's happening. We'll miss what's happening. Understand this. I'm going to get into what God revealed to me last night here in a minute, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I slow down for a moment that you may have your way, God. Speak to your people. These are your sheep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hear the word increase. For somebody, there's increase because you have suffered with God. Oh, glory to God. Increase for somebody because you have suffered with him. Hallelujah. You suffered long. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. And you suffer long. And you are due. The Bible speaks, and Jesus even says the laborer is worthy of his hire. Hallelujah. So there's nothing wrong with God blessing you for serving him. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with God blessing you for serving him. But we got to make sure our motives are in the right place. When you're willing to suffer with God, then that proves your motives. Watch this now. Hallelujah. So last week I spoke on no man can serve two masters. That doesn't mean you can't have a job and do ministry. If he calls you in the full time, then you got to kiss that job goodbye and walk by faith. Jesus had to stop being a carpenter in 3 years that he was doing kingdom work. And he had that money bag because he understood what I had and what I earned during all those years is going to be the supply that's going to sustain me. Okay? He also had people around him that was given to him. Understand this. So it wasn't just, oh, I'm depending on what I earned. But notice, he didn't go around giving folks you give me $1,000 seed. He didn't go around doing those things. He didn't go around manipulating, playing games with people. He didn't do that. He went around doing good, casting demons out, healing folks, asking them for no charge. Hallelujah. But he also received when they came with expensive gifts. He wasn't no fool. So when the woman came with the expensive oil, he didn't say, oh, that costs too much. So we got to have a balanced understanding about money. Why? Why does the Lord want to talk to us about money? Because the Bible says that the wealth of the sinner, this is a good part, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the just. What I like about it, he didn't say stored up for the saint. You can be an unjust saint. Uh-oh. What do I mean by unjust saint? You call to live a saintly life, but you're unjust in your practices. If you overcharge people for the work or you underpay people for the work that you know it was a certain amount of work and it's due a certain dollar amount. But you try and cut corners. Or if you want to overcharge somebody for something that's shabby. Well, either way, God said, that's not good. We should be in a spirit of excellence. Hallelujah. We should be in a spirit of excellence. Just say out to say amen. Or if you unjust, if you cheating on your taxes. You unjust when you go to your job and you lazy and you just, you know what I'm saying? You want to ride the clock. I'm going to hide out in the back room for 30 minutes, but you're getting paid for them 30 minutes. Well, that's unjust. God saying, hey, he said the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the just, the just. He didn't say God will take from the wicked and give to the people of the church. That's not what it says. He says it's stored up. In other words, God's going to show you how it's set up in place for you when you start walking in this kingdom focus. Hallelujah. Because there's things that belong to you because you're doing the work. And he says, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Don't get it twisted. Don't mean you're going to ride in a Bentley Rolls Royce car or a Ferrari because you're serving God. Now, some, you know, on these network TV may have you thinking that. And that's why a lot of people go after, you know, I'm an apostle, I'm a bishop, I'm going to be this. I'll polish his shoes, I'll carry his water jug, I'll wipe the sweat on his brow because I want what he got. I want this, that, and the other. And everybody's trying to be that next big, you know, honcho. And that's the focus. Hallelujah. And you may get those things. You may end up in that position. But did God give it to you is what you got to know. There's three kind of prosperities. I'm going to hit this little point real quick, and then we'll try to get into the part I'm trying to get to. There's three kind of prosperities, beloved. And this is all biblical. I'm not going to quote a bunch of scriptures today to try to make you think that if you don't hear the Spirit, then it's not good for me to try to force you to have ears. But I'm not going to try to verbatim all these scriptures to prove to you that it's biblical. We should study and it should bear witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. So one type of prosperity is the prosperity of man. That means you have the ability to prosper. You have the ability to do things in your own strength that will bring about a profit. That sounds pretty fun. Sound pretty good, right? Capitalism is not an evil thing. Not necessarily. It's all about the mindset you put into it and what God is leading you to. Now, a capitalistic society is kind of good because if you live in a communist society, everybody gets the same thing. You can work a millionaire's worth of a life, and then this other person work a penny worth of life, and y'all both going to be standing in line trying to get some bread from your communist government. But in a capitalistic society, them that put in the most usually get out more. We know there's a little here and there, depending on who you connect to and all those things. We know. But the thing is, the ability to be able to prosper is there. That's why they call it the American dream. So that's the prosperity of man. It's got nothing to do with God. It's just earthly. It got nothing to do with God. The prosperity of man. The Bible speaks of those that are prosper in their way. In Psalms chapter 37, if you need a Bible reference. I don't know the exact verse, but look it up. Psalms chapter 37, it talks about them that prosper in their way. So that's the prosperity of man. But then there's the prosperity of God. For David says in Psalms, I believe, 39, he says, or maybe 37, verse 29, somewhere in there. You can look it up. We Google everything else. David says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Mm-mm. So notice something. Servanthood and prosperity are connected. That's God's prosperity. That's his plan. And it don't mean what we think. Everybody's not going to have the biggest luxurious car and luxurious house, but God's going to prosper you. He's going to prosper you. The prosperity is walking in. It's already done. Jesus walked in that his whole life. When he was a baby, they bought him gifts, expensive gifts, but that had to fund his trip to Egypt to keep him from being slaughtered as a baby. Understand what was going on at that time. Herod was trying to kill all the babies so he could kill the one that he heard would be a king because he thought his king was coming a certain way. So Jesus' parents is blessed to have him as a baby. A baby can't do nothing with no gold and no frankincense and myrrh. So all those expensive gifts was used to fund his trip and to sustain his family during their time of concealment. Now, sometimes God's going to give you something. You got to have wisdom to know what to do with what he's going to give you. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Joseph mindset. Joseph knew what to do with the 7 years of plenty because he understood the time, the tide was going to turn. He understood that for the 7 years of plenty, we got 7 years of lack that's going to follow. He understood the things that's coming. Now, the prosperity of God, that's God will bless you. He will prosper his servant to the degree that I like what the preacher said last week. I heard a preacher say that God will prosper you in proportion to your purpose. And I couldn't have said it any better. He said that God will prosper you according to your purpose or in proportion to your purpose. In other words, if you're going to be one that funds other people's visions, then you got to have some millions in the bank. If you're going to, you know, fund other people's visions to bring to life what God is calling them to, and somebody saying, that's me, you claiming it. Well, did God tell you it's you? See, the prosperity of God is in proportion to your purpose, more or less his purpose for your life. But watch this. The third type of prosperity, beloved, is from the devil. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Watch this. In Luke, the fourth chapter, Jesus is being tempted. And the devil uses money The Bible says that he takes Jesus into a high place. That's why you gotta watch the spirit of flattery. People will try to flatter you and offer you something. Hallelujah. But watch this. He takes him into a high place. That means people will pump you up in your mind and tell you, oh, you're so anointed. Oh, you're so great. Oh, we can put you on this and we can put, baby, what is God calling me to do? I ain't worried about man's platform. I ain't worried about what man can offer me. Hallelujah. I want the glory of the kingdom of God down in my belly. You can have the glory of this world. It's all going to perish. One day this world and the works therein will all be bumped up. He says, oh, ye rich man, howl and weep, for your riches are cankered and spoiled. So all the stuff we can, he said, you heap up treasures for the last day. I could go into some more about that, and I might later. Watch this. That's James chapter 2, I believe it is. It tells a rich man to weep and howl, for your riches are spoiled. We don't want to be, so it's not about this world. So the devil takes Jesus to a high place. He shows him, the Bible says he shows him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. Kingdoms with an S on the end. There's multiple kingdoms. When something is ordained of God, because you're always talking about one kingdom. But when it's of the devil, everybody got a kingdom. Everybody's this. Everybody's got a vision. Everybody's a visionary. When it's of the devil, we all trying to get this stuff of this world and accumulate. But when it's of God, he says, I had a purpose for your life. Plug in and hear me. Watch this. Because that's the only thing I'm going to pay you for is what I hire you to do. My God, today, you might have one job. You might have multiple jobs. You might have multiple talents that God's going to use. You might. But it comes through relationship to know exactly which direction he wants you to go in, because you don't want to step off the track. I'm going to show you a man that stepped off track. I'm going to show you how it relates to us as a whole, and then I'm going to try to get out of here. So do I still have y'all's attention? Praise the Lord. Just say, God, I thank you. Lock this word and seal it in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Speak, Holy One, in the name of Jesus. Watch this. The prosperity of the devil is this. He goes and tells Jesus, I'll give you all this kingdoms of the world. And, he says, and the glory of them. That glory means the wealth, the riches, the stuff. The beauty, the sparkling, glitzy glamour, and the glistening, you know, aura of the things of this world. He told you. So that means Jesus didn't just see the Babylonian kingdom, the Persian kingdom, the Roman kingdom, and the Egyptian kingdom from back in those days before him. No, he saw the kingdoms of right now. He saw the technology and the industrial age and the boom and money manufacturing and all those things that we see now. They're building and planting and building it bigger now than ever. Mega cities and all these things. And he offered it to Jesus. All the kingdoms of this world from ages past and ages to come. I do believe we are the terminal generation, but I could be wrong about that. Nevertheless, he showed them all the generations from then on up to now, and if God tarries, after now. He showed them all of that and everything they had in it. He said, I'll give you all of that, just one condition. You bow and worship me. So how worthy or how much worth is our worship? How much is our worship really worth? If the devil said, I'd give all this up with one act of worship, ponder that. It's what that whole beast system is about. It says you can't buy and sell unless you worship. The beast, the image of the beast, take the number of his name and the mark of the beast and all those different things it talks about in Revelation. It says it's all about worship. Valuable is our worship. Hallelujah. Jesus told Mary and Martha, he said, Martha, you are troubled over many things, but Mary chose the good part. He said, only one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, and it will not be taken from her. In other words, she just laid at the feet of Jesus. She didn't have a whole lot. She didn't do a whole lot, but she laid at his feet. How much is your worship worth? This is why God wants to tell us you can't serve God in money. Now, it don't mean you be lazy. You can worship. I told you on last week it's in the heart. You can worship Jesus while you at work. You know, they say whistle while you work. Well, worship while you work. You can worship. You ain't got to be loud and boast. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No. You crazy. They're going to walk you out of your job. Don't do that. But you can have a song in your heart. You can keep a smile on your face. You can be praying and don't nobody know you're praying inwardly while you're working. And that's of great value to God. And you can say, God, I know I didn't make what I want to make. I know I ain't got that six-figure career, but I thank you. I just want to thank you that you ain't let me starve. I want to thank you that I got a roof over my head. I want to thank you. Hallelujah. And before you know it, you're becoming of more value because Jesus told him, he said, she chose the good part, and it's not going to be taken from her. All the worshipers ought to get glad right about now because you can't serve God and money. Now, watch this. I'm talking about true worship. You can't serve God and money. So, the third type of prosperity, let me get back onto that, is the prosperity of the devil. He will give you some stuff, but he's going to require something that's more valuable than you realize. It's more valuable than you realize. Some of us, maybe you haven't bowed and worshiped the devil, but he might have tricked you, snared you, because now you're working 80 hours a week, and you ain't got time to worship. And your spirit is drained. Oh, God, your spirit is drained. You dry. You ain't got no time for the Lord now. Or you're too busy counting your money. You got money. You ain't working for it, but you working with it. You're too busy enjoying it. And you can't hear God say there's a beggar at your doorstep. And he's judging you. What is the Lord doing? We got to plug into that worship place because that's the most valuable thing we have is us, our soul. And that's what God says. Just give me you. We sing that song, give me you. Everything else can wait. We sing that to God, but God is saying the same thing to us. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Sometimes you just got to bow yourself at his feet. This message is turning, but to God be the praise. Watch this. Money is important because the devil knows something about money that you and I are oblivious to often. And God is giving revelation on today about it. He knows something about money that we don't. He knows that money had a power to turn your heart from God. Oh, somebody don't like that. Watch this. He offers it to Jesus. The only time he asked Jesus to worship him, money was involved. The one that betrays Jesus, money is involved. At the end of time, when we get into the tribulation period, well, those that believe they're going to be here at that time, I know that I'm not, but anyhow, when you get into that, he says you got to worship in order to buy and sell, participate. That's money. The first beast in Revelation comes through, killing, cutting heads off, all kind of persecution. The second beast says, I got another plan. I'm going to just cut off their money. And I'm going to say, the only way you're going to be able to be in prosperity, because now we're building this new brave world, this utopia here, this world where we're promising you long life and longevity and happiness and peace and safety and everything is good. And this, all you got to do is join with us. And you can buy and sell and prosper. And believe me, that's how it's going to be spent. They're going to spin it off just like that. It's going to be this new brave world and universalism. And you're going to have some of these Christian preachers that are left behind preaching the gospel of the Antichrist. My goodness, today. That's why you got to know who's anointed and who's not on today. And know what voice to listen to in this hour. Everybody's not anointed speaking in your life. My Jesus today. Listen. Let me get out of that because I don't want to get into that end time stuff. It's not time for that yet. But look, that second beast in Revelation chapter 13, he comes through and says, you gotta take this mark or worship this image in order to partake in buying and selling. In other words, the devil realizes I'll have more effect not trying to kill you and beat you to death. I can just offer you some stuff and buy you into death. Jesus or God the Father speaks in the Old Testament through one of the prophets, and I believe it's Isaiah, and he tells him, he says to Israel, you have said that you will prosper because you have made a covenant with death. In other words, he's going to come and say, join me, make a covenant with me, and I'll pay you. The laborer is worthy of his hire, but we got to be laborers for the kingdom of God. We got to walk in kingdom focus, and the real prosperity of God is it's already done. I'm going to say that again. The real prosperity of God is in, it's already done. This is what the wealth transfer really is about. It don't mean you're going to have $1 billion in the bank. Unless God has ordained for you to be a billionaire and there's a purpose to your billions, then yeah, you may get the billions. But I highly doubt that Jesus is the template. He's the one that we're to look at and say, I want to be like him. Not King David. King David was great
not taking nothing from him. Moses was great, not taking nothing from him. Solomon was great, not taking nothing from him. But Jesus says, look, watch this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Listen to me real good. Solomon was, the Bible says, there was no king like him in his days. Even after that, there was no king that was as rich as Solomon. Even Jesus says that Solomon was decked out in array and glorious in appearance, his clothing and all that. He was so rich. God made him so rich and so wise. But then Jesus says, but one that's greater than Solomon stands here before you. Yet he's just a carpenter. Yet he's living in a humble abode, a modest lifestyle. He's the template, the prosperity of God. The prosperity of God is when God begins to add to your life for the thing that he called for you to do with your life. Some days you're going to suffer in the plan of God. I know it's not popular to preach this. You can't get no oil out of an olive without crushing it. You're just going to sit there and look pretty. But you want power, then you got to say, yes, God, I'll suffer with you to be able to reign with you. The glory, the real glory of the kingdom, the crown is laid up for you. The crown, it comes after this life. He says, I saw them, they had crowns upon their heads, and the judgment was given to them, and they sat upon thrones. That's in the millennium. That's when we come here to reign with him. But there's some suffering you're going to do right now. But it don't mean you got to suffer all things. Some things God will deliver you out of. He's not calling you to live in poverty, but he's calling you to forsake this world, the things of this world. You got to be like Jesus. Jesus walked away from Satan's offer. He walked away from Satan's offer and said, I'd rather have a cross than the crowns of these kingdoms of this world. Now, we know that, I'm going to stay off of that, but I'm going to say this. When God speaks, he speaks of one kingdom, one kingdom. When the enemy comes, he wants to rule the kingdoms of this world. Now, talking about the beast in Revelation, talk about the number of, he has seven heads, and on those heads he's got crowns on his head. That means the devil rules the kingdoms of this world. Why is the church trying to get into ruling the kingdoms of this world before time? Because you've been tricked about your money, and God want to get you, my people come out of her. Watch this. I got to get into this part before I leave. Elijah was a prophet, anointed by God, a prophet of God in the Old Testament, anointed by God. Elijah raises up his predecessor, Elisha, or some say Elisha. Elijah passes the mantle on to Elisha, and Elisha runs with a double portion of Elijah's power or the anointing that was on his life. He gets a double portion. He needed a double portion because he had double trouble to deal with, double the devils to fight, double everything. Everything about this man's life was double. Yeah. Elijah, the first prophet, goes up into heaven in a whirlwind, in the chariot's fire. And that's when he drops down the mantle for Elisha to walk it out in the earth and carry on the works that he did. But when Elisha's ministry is over, he dies with the anointing. He dies with the anointing. He was so anointed that there's a story in the Bible where they threw a dead man in the tomb where Elisha's bones were. And Elisha's bones were so anointed that the anointing was so in him, he had a double portion. It went past his spirit into his body. So even his bones carried the glory of God. Watch this. He was so anointed, but yet he died with the anointing. He was still a man. He had to die, and they had to bury him, and he became nothing but a box of bones. Okay? That's why we can't put our faith in flesh. We all go, you know, we all trying to get to Jesus. But watch this. Elisha is dead. His bones are anointed. They throw the dead man's body in the grave with Elisha's bones, and the dead man stood up like a living man. He resurrected him, but he didn't go nowhere. Watch this. He dropped back dead. He didn't move. So I'm telling you, there's some anointings that can stir you up, but they can't mobilize you. Watch this. God will give you instruction so you know the direction you need to go. So Elisha's bones stand this man up on his feet. This is why you have revival after revival, but yet it doesn't continue. The work is stagnant. But what happens? Watch this. I'm going somewhere with this, and this is the end of this message. Elisha's bones are anointed. The body stands up. This is a representation of some things. I've heard many preach this whole story about this. Well, Elijah trained Elisha to carry the torch, but Elisha failed to train someone to carry the torch for him. That's what they say. This is how it's been preached. I've heard this preached numerous times, that Elisha represents a generation that will die with the anointing, clinging to it because they didn't want to train somebody to take their place, or they didn't want to raise up laborers. That's not what happened. I'm going to show you what happened. Money got in the way. Watch this. Let me show you what happened. Money got in the way. This is Bible. I'm going to read it to you. I ain't read a whole lot, but I'm going to read this to you. And somebody need to hear this, because this is a representation of generations. My God, I feel like weeping over this as I'm bringing this word. Let me calm myself because I don't want to get in my emotions. Now, Elisha had someone follow him around and serve him just like he followed Elijah around and served him. This young man's name was Gehazi, okay? Gehazi, or some may say Gehazi. Gehazi was the servant of Elijah. He was supposed to be the next one to carry the mantle. But watch what he does. I can never find this story here. To God be the praise. Bear with me, y'all, for a moment. So Gehazi is the man of God's servant. He's walking. Here we go. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 5. Elisha's servant. Now, we know, if you, for the Bible readers, maybe you don't read that much and you don't know the stories, and you can go and read these things, cross-reference them. We have the wonderful tool called Google these days. So anything I tell you is in the Bible, you don't have to take my word for it. Go ask Google if it's in the Bible. It'll show you where it's at in the Bible. You can go sit down and study your Bible and find out if these things be so or not. I'm not going to quote a whole lot of verse and chapter to make you think, oh, he's so eloquent, he knows exactly where it's at. No. I'm telling you, it's in there. So you can search these things. That's the beauty of technology. Watch this. So Gehazi is Elijah's servant, and there's a man named Naaman, and he's somebody that's very well connected to somebody with a whole lot of money, a king's servant. He's like the king's right-hand man. He's the captain in the king's palace. But he's sick. He got a disease in his flesh. He's got leprosy. And Naaman comes to the prophet because somebody told him there's a prophet from Israel. And the prophet tells him, jump in the water or dip in the water 7 times and you'll be healed. And he didn't want to do it, but he finally had somebody around him to tell him, what you got to lose? I'm paraphrasing. What you got to lose, man? If he told you to do something crazy, you would have done it. If he told you to parachute out of a plane 40,000 feet, you would have done it. But all he told you is just go dip in the Jordan. In other words, take the low road. Be humble. It's a blessing to have people around you to talk some sense into you sometimes. He had somebody talk that into him, so he went back and dipped in the Jordan 7 times. And the Bible says his leprosy left him, and his skin was like a baby skin. And he was so happy and elated about what happened. This is in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was so happy that he says, I want to bless Elijah. I want to bless this man of God, this prophet. Okay? So he goes and offers Elijah something for what he, for giving him the word of the Lord. And he got healed off of it. Watch what happens, though. He says, Elijah turns it down. Okay? Elisha. It's hard to say those names and not mix them up. Elisha turns down the offer. He turns down the offer. He doesn't take nothing from this man because he understands the times of God, the appointed times of God. He doesn't do nothing outside the will of God to the best of his human ability. Watch this. He tells him in verse 19, he says, and he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. He sent the man on with his stuff, all his gold and all his clothes that he was offering him, all the different stuff he offered Elisha. He said, no, go your way. But, verse 20 says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he bought. As the Lord liveth, he done swore to God he's going to do this. You know, some folk done made a covenant in their heart. Something they ought not do. He said, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. He didn't say, I want a whole lot. I just want a little bit. Just let me get a little bit of this. Watch this. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and Naaman saw him running after him. He lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is it well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, don't lie and say God put you in a position to ask for some of the things you ask him for when he didn't. Now, if he did, then you just be obedient. If he didn't, I told you there's a day of judgment coming. Now, some of y'all need to get this word to some of these lying prophets. Let them hear this. Watch this. He said, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophet. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. So, and then I'm going to skip down. I'm not going to read all of this. But basically he went and told the man that Elisha sent me to pick this up from you. Because he wanted something that it wasn't time for yet. He wanted something. And Elijah begins to question him in verse 25. He says, he asks him, where you been at? And he says, you know, here and there, here and there. And Elijah begins to talk to him. And he says, and he said unto him, verse 26, went not mine heart with thee? In other words, did I not see you? Did not my spirit sit here and watch you? I saw God revealed this to me is what he's telling him. He said, did not my spirit go with you or my heart go with you when the men turned again from his chariot to meet you? He said, is it time? Here's the part I want you to pay attention to. Is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep? Somebody said, yes, I hear you. Okay, it may be. If God said that, but if he didn't, then you're going to be like this man. So watch this. He says, is it time to receive money, to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? He said, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow. Now, this man lied and said it was time to take it. But the prophet knew what he was talking about. He knew there's a time coming where it will be time. There will be time, and watch what happens. Two chapters later, and I'm not going to read this. You can read it on your own, but it says four men that had leprosy. Later on, they're there, and they go into the city, and God brings confusion upon the people in the city, and they begin to flee and leave all their stuff for them to go in and take it. And they go in and plunder. The Bible says 3 days. They was in there 3 days collecting gold and all kind of things, but they still got leprosy. I suggest to you today that these lepers were the seed of the man who he said, the leprosy of Naaman will cleave to you. Sometimes you're going to have a mark on you because you wouldn't wait on God to get the prosperity of God. This is why our relationship with money is so important, because what happens is the anointing that Elisha operated in should have went to Gehazi next. Instead, he got something else to clothe him. He was clothed in leprosy. Still, you still find the leper still ended up wealthy at the end, but they still got leprosy. It never said they got healed, just said they got rich. I would not want to be wealthy and still afflicted with something that I didn't have to be afflicted with because I stepped into something before it was time. This is just a message to help somebody. So, is having money bad? No. Jesus says, if you're faithful over the little bit, I'll make you ruler over much. He got to tell you it's time to have increase. So somebody got that word today, that word for increase. Just make sure you take it to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Make sure you take that to God in prayer. Make sure it's you. Don't claim it if it ain't God talking to you. Know what is for you and what isn't. Hallelujah. To God be the praise. I thank God for the people of God. Bless you, Lord God. Bless these your people with the wisdom and insight and the encouragement, Lord God. And teach us, Lord, that how you said in your word you would deliver us little by little. Don't let us be in a hurry to gain too much, Lord God, that we take our eyes off of you. But as you increase us, hallelujah, as you increase us little by little, Lord God, we are learning of your ways, and you are delivering us from our enemy little by little. Hallelujah. We're not small-minded people, but we understand that this money and the things of this world is Satan's tools to take away our worship. And Father, we want to have our heart saying, not our mouth, but our heart saying, that we will put nothing before you. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you that you are giving us good work ethics, and you're causing us to sow seeds in the right ground. Hallelujah. And you're causing us to receive speedy returns. And we're not going to be manipulative when it comes to money. But, Father, we will trust you and your precepts. And we will wait on your time. Don't let us be deceived and call something favor when it was really compromised. Don't let us be as Gehazi. Don't let us be the generation that is stagnant and not able to carry the anointing on because we've got sidetracked by the things of this world. Don't let that be so with us, Father. Let us be those that will continue to keep the torch burning, Lord God. Let not money get in the way, Father God, but help us to love you more than anything that we could ever receive from you, knowing that all these things one day will not exist. But your kingdom is forever, your word is forever, and your presence is all we need, Lord God, and it brings everything else as provision. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you're teaching us and you're giving us wisdom, hallelujah, even in how to operate in the sectors you have placed us in the marketplace. And, Lord, that you will make us business leaders in our community for your glory. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that in this year, for some of us, as you are teaching us, we won't go after the stuff, Lord God, but we will work, and we will have the right work ethic. We won't labor to be rich, but we'll labor for the kingdom. And we understand that everything you give us is that we may win souls and that we may partake in the blessing of Christ. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In a dry and barren land, we're longing for your hand to guide us to a place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again. We thirst for you. Now sing it out. We thirst for you. We search for you. In the dry land, we're longing for your hand to guide us to a place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again. We thirst for you. Oh, Lord, we're so thirsty for your spirit, Lord. We thirst for you. We thirst for you. Everything within us longs to be near you.
No more shame, 'cause you cleared my name. hid my secret. And I want you to prophesy over your own life. Say, one more time.
Right now, and let's make it available. Just by one touch, all you have to do is reach up and touch the hem of his garment. So, Lord, we just enter into a place of prayer. We can never pray too much, but we just thank you because you're worthy.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid.
Come on, pray in the intercession right now. I need you, Jesus.
You gave
more of you.
Gave
that's my prayer tonight.
Grace.
The way anything not please
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy
our God.
Worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb.
Yes, worthy.
Our God. Worthy is the Lamb.
Hallelujah. All the lines are yours.
I dare you to just give God the praise. Your voice, collect, with your voice collectively, if you're still on the line.
Worthy.
Hallelujah.
Is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy
our God, faithful
God.
Is the Lamb.
Yes, faithful is
our
the Lamb.
God.
Hallelujah.
Faithful is the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Faithful is the Lamb.
Oh, our God.
Our God.
Holy is the Lamb.
Holy is the Lamb.
Holy is the Lamb. Of our God,
yes, Lord.
Truthful is the Lamb.
Truthful
of
is the
our
Lamb.
God, truthful
oh, God.
Is the Lamb of
oh,
my God.
If you got, listen,
oh,
if you
God.
Got lungs and you breathe in God's air, you owe Him praise right now. I ask everybody who's still on the line,
the
do not be a spectator.
Worthy
but lift your voice. You don't have to sing, but praise Him in your own way. Glory be
worthy.
To God. Hallelujah.
Holy
we bless
is the
you.
Lamb.
Every line
oh,
is
my
open.
God. We sing.
And that's how it is remarkable that 37 people are still listening. All lines are open.
Worthy
is God. The Lamb.
I guess I don't have to say, glory to God. We thank you. We praise you, God.
Just one word say,
worthy
is
God. Bless us, Lord God. Thank you for all things that come to the life of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you for my right mind on today, God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God, we thank you, Jesus, that you have not
yes.
cut us off in our foolishness
yes.
and in our
yes.
error, God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
God.
God,
we thank you, Lord God, that you have sought out to set intercessors before us, Lord God, when we were doomed and destined to your judgment, but you said I will give another chance, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are extending time for somebody, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you. Somebody's heart is turning right now. There ain't a word on your tongue, but your heart is turning back, Lord God. I
praise
you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. You know who you are. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for calling the backsliders back right now, Lord God. I thank you for raising
thank
them up,
Jesus.
Ladies, Lord God.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. I thank you for raising them up in secret, Lord God. Huh? They pray in secret, Lord God, and have power in the open, God. I thank you, Father,
thank
for doing
you,
it.
Jesus.
Oh, glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory
to
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
oh,
you, Jesus.
God, you deserve our praise.
Worthy
of our God.
Is the Lamb. Worthy.
Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to my Lamb.
Hallelujah.
He's my God. Hallelujah to my Lamb.
He's my God. Hallelujah.
My God. Jesus.
Yeah. He wants to raise you up. He wants to use you. Oh, glory
worthy,
to God.
Worthy,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah is my Lamb.
Yes, He is.
Yes.
Hey. My God.
His Lamb. Yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Glory to my Lamb. He died for my sins.
Glory is my Lamb.
He hung on the cross. Worthy.
Glory. Worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy
is our God.
Worthy,
worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy
oh,
is the
like Lamb. Worthy is
the
Lamb.
Nobody
like you. Oh God. I just want to thank you, Jesus. Worthy
is
the Lamb.
Worthy
my God. Oh, Jesus. Worthy.
Are you in our homes, God?
worthy of my praise, worthy of my attention, worthy of my focus, worthy of my ties, worthy of my job, worthy.
Yeah.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy.
Over this network tonight. Worthy of the Lamb.
Worthy.
Over every coming in ministry tonight. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy. Worthy, worthy. You're worthy, Lamb. You're so worthy of my Lamb. You're so worthy, Lord. You're
oh,
so
Jesus,
worthy.
You're worthy.
You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord.
Worthy.
You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're so worthy, Jesus. Worthy
Jesus.
Is the Lamb.
Oh,
you're my God. Worthy.
Yes,
holy,
worthy,
faithful.
Worthy, 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 worthy. Worthy. Worthy, worthy. You're worthy of
the
Lamb.
Your mighty power, your miracle working God. Somebody need a miracle.
There's a miracle in the Lamb.
They won't say nothing, but God, you know
that. Glory is the Lamb.
Hallelujah. I need a miracle. What I stand in line for.
I need a miracle.
Hallelujah. 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 I thank you for the
so
miracle.
I can give a miracle to you.
God, I thank you for the faith that produces miracles, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the atmosphere of faith, Lord God, just in your name. When we call on your name, hallelujah. Jesus, when we call on that name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything belongs to God.
And that miracle you just gave me, I give it into the portion room right now. I'm
freely
deposit it into the portion roll so somebody else can
glory.
Testify
Jesus
of the redemption of their soul tonight.
Jesus
hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God.
Worthy
thank you for a season of miracles, Lord. We will walk in miracles. Hallelujah. We expect it now, Lord God, to see it manifest starting now, Lord God, that miracles begin to flow
worthy,
for your people.
Worthy.
Hallelujah. We break off the hindrances.
Worthy is the
manifestation. Hallelujah, Lord.
Of my God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for every petition that has went before that is already done and finished and complete. We thank you for every request that is already filled. We thank you for every need that is already taken care of. We thank you, Lord, that you give the glory for every testimony of healing, of transformation, of redemption, and of your perfect love. Created us a clean heart, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
We do.
That is a miracle.
Right in me right
yeah.
now.
Right now. That is a miracle.
Right now.
My God.
Right now. Right now, Jesus.
Mm. Make us fruitful
right
in your kingdom, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Mm. Every time you drop on me, I want to give it away.
Yeah.
So open up the portion room and take all of the favor, anything that I have, Lord, that you have given me freely.
Hallelujah.
I freely give. I don't have a name, I don't have an address, I don't have a geographical place, but I know you will distribute to those that are worthy of your favor.
Yes, God. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Love you, family. God bless you guys. What'd you say, Mr. Ryan?
I said, they'll catch it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's coming. It's coming. It's dropping down now.
Amen.
It's people out there right now raising their hands saying, I'm the one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Love you guys. God bless
Amen.
You. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We love you. Join us this week. This is Mother's Day week. We're going to talk about mothers all week long. Tomorrow night, let's talk Jesus. What better
Amen.
Than the mother of Jesus? Come on. Come on board tomorrow night, and let's talk about Mary.
Let's talk about Mary.
Let's talk about Mary. Love you guys.
Love you. God bless you.